I know just people walk around and they're just happy to say it. So remember, we're in Titus, politically incorrect Titus. This is part 9 in the sermon series. We're going to be working through verses 9 through 13. And we're up to a part in Titus which Jesus took the word slave and the idea of a slave and turned it upside down. Where in the world's eyes, people don't like to come out and say, hey, you know, I'm a slave. Nice to meet you. It's a shameful thing. People get real angry when you mention slavery. Everybody, during this great history that we've become a part of, at some time, every people group has experienced slavery. Every group has been a slave in some way. One of the last slave empires that we've seen fall was the Soviet Union. And people don't like to speak of it that way because it's politically incorrect, but it was a white slave empire. You had white slave masters in the Soviet Union that told their people what to do, how they were going to get educated, what job they would get. They were selected from when they were young. They were told whether they were going to be a doctor, a taxi driver. And if you spoke back, you wound up in Siberia somewhere, in one of the gulags or in a salt mine. That was a slave empire. Most of us who are holding phones today, again, I'm sorry for being politically correct, but most of us who have phones today, including myself, that was built, most likely, as part of a slave empire. The largest slave empire we have today, where at least half the population, they are virtually slaves, is China. Has anyone heard about some of the stories coming out of China? You know where Apple gets their phones made? Foxconn? Huge complex? They had to put nets on top of the building. Why did they have to put nets on top of the building? Because people were jumping off the building that worked there. They worked for virtually the lowest wages in the world. They get one day off a month. You think your job is rough. How would you like to get one day off a month? 12 hours, 14 hours, sometimes 16-hour days, especially before the holidays, because we all need our phones. That's slavery. If they speak up, they wind up as organ donors. They arrest them, they cut them up on a mobile organ donation truck, and then rich people from around the world come and buy the organs they need. Kidneys, oh, maybe a liver. I'm not making this up. Told you, the internet is a new printing press. I love it. Go. Examine everything I said. Check it out. They cut people up and sell their body parts. That's what they do. So slavery is alive and well today. The only group that effectually ended slavery, that the type of absolute slavery we had, were Christians. Through faith. And sometimes we forget about that. We had a war in this country with our own battle with slavery, and we ended it. And people died in it. And those at the forefront were Christians. But slavery is alive and well all over the world, especially in Muslim lands. Again, I'm sorry to be politically incorrect. Any place there is Islam now, there is some type of slavery. Especially with the ladies. Sex trafficking, trading people. Has anyone seen any of those little snippets our friends from ISIS putting up, selling ladies for $10 in a cage? You haven't seen the auctions? They said we were stupid for ending our slavery. But the point that I'm trying to make is, Jesus took something that was derogatory and made it a badge of honor. And we're going to see that in the text we read today. The only thing in my life that I can truly say I am proud to be is a slave of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm not my own anymore. But the difference between Jesus, and I know this might sound weird because the church doesn't teach this anymore. This is the central teaching of Christianity. You're going to be a slave to somebody. Be a slave to Christ because it brings life. I was never known a slave. I'm not anyone's slave here. And then I hear the proud people on Wall Street right now. I'm not a slave to anybody. You're a slave to your money.
Right.
Some people are slave to coke. Some people are slave to alcohol. Some people are slave to witchcraft. Some people are slave to vanity, the way they look. They'll risk their life to get on a doctor's table to have a smaller tushy or better proportions. Everybody's a slave. You just want to be his slave. Everybody's a slave. We have an election coming. We have the political slaves. This election will get it right. Every other election we might have gotten it wrong, but this is going to be the one that saves us. How many times have we heard that? You know why the election ultimately doesn't matter in the long term? If we don't print our own money, if we're not in control of our own money, if we have private families that own the Federal Reserve, a private bank, if we have loan sharks and shysters running the country and filling political offices with these people, it doesn't matter who you elect. It's all a show. And if you have somebody who bucks the system, and who knows, maybe one of the candidates this year might be a real rebel, they shoot them. When you're really dangerous to the system, they shoot you. Has anyone ever heard of John F. Kennedy? Has anyone ever heard of Robert Kennedy? Martin Luther King? Medgar Evers? Anybody? I'm just curious. So we were a nation that used to honor God. That's what made us strong. How many people learn about Alistair Tocqueville in school? Of course you don't learn about Alistair Tocqueville. He was a Frenchman that came here. They wanted to see what made America so powerful. What made America a country that wasn't dependent on their government. Europe had aristocracies for hundreds of years. They had the king, they had the queen, they had strong central governments. We had a community-type government. We didn't need the government's help, and that protected us. And that's the way our system was set up. The less you need the man, the less the man is on your back. If you're asking the man for everything, health care and protection and jobs and checks and all these different benefits, you're going to be subject to the man. That's how it works. But we didn't have a country like that. And de Tocqueville came here, and you know what he said? A man who was not a faithful Christian, he said it's their morality. It's their Christian morality. Everybody goes to church of some type. Everybody respects this book called the Bible. And the people, they don't have to be told by the government to build somebody's house. They'll go and help someone who needs a house to be built. And neighbors help each other. And they have an unwritten law that allows them to live in peace. This was the source of our freedom. And that's why every president, from the first president, maybe up until the sixth or seventh president, I don't know when they stopped saying this, explained how if you want to live in a republic and really be free, you need morality. And you need Christian morality. Who would like to live under Sharia law right now? The ladies should be raising their hands. Be pretty good for me. For the men, you made king overnight. I'm saying that sarcastically. We don't want to live like that. But the point is, you have crazy women, deceived, that are welcoming Sharia law by destroying the church. These feminists that hate God and hate Christ. You have men doing it also. So we are destroying ourselves. If you're not a slave to Christ, you'll be a slave to someone else. So your choice is simple. You're going to be a slave. Either your master is Christ, or your master is the world. That's it. That's your choice. Okay, maybe I'm making this up. We got to be careful, right? Maybe I'm just full of hot air. Well, let's go to our text. Please turn to Titus. We're in chapter 2, verse 9. Titus is there for Timothy. It's part of the pastoral epistles, letters written to pastors. On how to guide their church. So in Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 9. What is Paul telling Titus to teach? Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, sorry, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that word, servants, in verse 9, comes from a Greek word, doulos. That word doesn't mean naturally a servant, like you choose to serve or be a servant. That is a slave. Christian slaves are being instructed and told by Paul, through Titus. Paul's writing to Titus, and this is what Titus is to teach. You want to show people what you're made of? You want to show a power as a slave that you think you don't have? Give witness to Christ. Be about Christ, even in your actions and your behavior. Even Christian leaders in antiquity used to constantly remind the people, like the letter we had gotten from the Gideons, practice what you preach. It's an amazing witness. We speak about this with the homeless. Why do we want the homeless to hand out Bible tracts? Why do we teach the homeless the word? Why don't we just throw food at them, wish them well, and get them out? Because they're our greatest witness. Because they don't have the big house. They don't have the big car. They don't have the guaranteed salary. And they love Christ anyway. And that speaks to people.
Amen.
And that's why the prosperity gospel is such trash. It's easy to love God when you're doing well. When the pension checks are coming in, and your health is fine, everything's going well, what challenge is that? That's what Peter tells us. Unless you hit with trials, how can you show how strong your faith is?
Right.
That's like a boxer who swears to you he's tough. Gets in his first professional fight, gets punched in the face for the first time, starts crying, and goes home. Might have said he was a boxer. Might have looked like a boxer. But if you can't get punched in the face, don't get into boxing. And that's the message the church needs to recover. Christianity is the most challenging contact sport on the planet. If you don't want to get spiritually and sometimes physically punched in the face, become a Wiccan, become a communist, feminist, Islam's doing pretty well right now, playing rough. Be anything else but a Christian. Because you have to take offense. And you have to serve people in faith at times. Even people you don't like. So maybe I'm not lying. We have this word about being a faithful servant. Now why are we to be a servant or a slave, a faithful slave? Because that shows Christ's strength. You'll be a slave to everything else but Jesus. You'll pay $452 a month for your cable bill. But you won't stand up to Aunt Sally when she's desecrating God's name in your house. So we have to always be prepared. We are Christ's slaves first. Now I want to show you the first slave in all of history. The first two slaves. Are you curious? You want to, it's proven. Do you want to know who the first two slaves in history were? Let's go back to Genesis. Our Old Testament reading. Genesis chapter 3. Short and sweet. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Those are your first slaves. They left God and became slaves to Satan. Satan tempted them and they did it. And we've been fighting the same battle ever since. And what's sick and disgusting is that this perverted message has made it into the church. I'm not God's slave. God's my slave. When I'm sick, I'm going to say a prayer in faith. He better heal me. When the rent is due and the money's not there or the car's getting old, I'm going to say a prayer that he better deliver me. Doesn't matter how I act, what I do, what I believe, I'm not his slave. He's my slave. And the church has turned the whole message upside down the same way Satan did. When instead of us coming to church as servants, as Christ's slaves, because when you're Christ's slave, you're bulletproof. People can't touch you. Because if I'm Christ's slave, then I'm no other man's slave. I don't worship anyone. I can't be tricked. I can't be influenced in any way. I'm serving him. My master has a law for me. And it's in this book. But what does the church do? Cater to everybody. They teach about a God that'll do whatever you want, whatever you need. No consequences. That's atheism. That's not Christianity. So these are the first slaves in history. And the church, the active church today, in Europe, in America, many of your mainline churches and denominations, are teaching people a doctrine of devils, where God is your servant. Am I lying? Does anybody see what's going on? Oh, well, you know, the Bible says, you know, a man can't marry a man. But, you know, my son came out as gay. So therefore, I'm sorry for oppressing him. And who are you a slave to? God or your son? Well, you know, I used to be against, pedophilia. And, you know, but... You know, but my daughter, she was a teacher at school, and she really loved this 8-year-old boy, and they have a relationship now, and once he's old enough, they're going to get married. But I'm still a Christian. Maybe the Bible wasn't right. Who are you a slave of? Who do you serve? Your daughter? Or God? We do this all the time. Well, I was a believer, and I went to church, but I got married. For the ladies, let's say, you know, my husband, he doesn't go to church, he doesn't believe in God, and so I don't go anymore. Who is your master, a mortal man, or Jesus Christ? Amen. Is your husband going to raise you up on that last day? We worship and serve everything but Jesus Christ. Now, has the world always been like this? You bet the world has always been like this. The world has always been a slave system apart from Christ. You want to make your college professors cringe as they brag about the Greeks? Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, taught that some men and women were naturally slaves. They needed to be slaves. Because that was their nature. Is that what the Bible teaches? That people are irredeemable? Do you know in glorious Greece, at least one out of every three persons was a slave? In Rome and Italy, at the height of the Roman Empire, 40% of the city consisted of slaves. So we like to make men slaves. We like to make God our slave. But we're not proud anymore as a people to be Christ-like. And the church sees it. And we have to change that. All people are slaves from birth in a foreign world. The way of salvation is to be a slave for Jesus Christ. Paul illustrates to Titus what a tremendous witness Christian slaves can be for their masters. He also talks about, Titus talks about this grace, this doctrine of grace, the grace of God appearing and bringing salvation for all people. You're not redeemed and given grace to serve yourself. You ever meet people, they become a Christian, and they've become more arrogant than before they were a Christian? Or they become a Christian and they're more lawless than before they became a Christian? Does that make sense? Is that why God redeemed us? There's two things we have to do as Christians once we become Christ's slave. Number one, we live according to His Word to give witness to the world. And number two, we really believe and expect His return. It's not your best life now. You can have a blessed life now, to a point, but your best life comes after you die. And that's what doesn't make sense to the world, but it needs to make sense to us. So that word doulos in the Greek means slave, a real slave. Not kind of a slave, almost a slave, a real slave, a real servant. So let us stop serving ourselves and serve Christ. Now we saw who the first slaves were, our parents, Adam and Eve. Now why were they slaves? Why were they trapped in slavery? Because God made them. He said, I'm your God. You're my people. You're my children. I'm giving you this paradise. Enjoy yourself. But you can't be lawless. I don't want you involved in rape, murder, pedophilia, bestiality, I don't want you involved in any of these things. You know what Satan said? He's denying you an experience of all things. Who is he to tell you not to touch, not to taste, not to eat? You've got to live. You've got to experience things. Experience things. You've got to live. And what did they say? They believed them. We're not his slave. He's going to be our slave. They chose themselves. And they opened the door to hell. Literally. And we're doing the same thing ever since. How many people wish that they were taught from when they were young in church that they really have to live and walk as a Christian? How many people wish that they were taught from when they were young to really apply the Bible? Really apply it. Not just to handing out shirts and food, politics, science, family relationships. So we've become an immature people by not doing this. Please turn to John chapter 10, the Gospel of John. Jesus tells us something. Verses 7 through 10. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And then he goes on to tell us he's the good shepherd. When you are a slave to Christ, the doorway to freedom is open because you're no longer a slave to sin. So if you're a slave to money and getting stuff and suddenly become a slave to Christ, you learn His doctrine, His teachings, and God frees you from the chains that bind your heart that make you worship money. And you have a peace that you've never had before. You'll be able to go to sleep at night without looking at the stock market. You'll be able to go to sleep at night without worrying about what depression might be coming. Because you know how to live when the money's there and you know how to live when the money's not there. If you are addicted to gambling, and you talk about the government being hypocritical, I remember when I was young, you know, the boys used to run numbers in the neighborhood. Oh, that's illegal. So they put the mob in jail for running numbers. Now there's 9,000 scratch-offs in every bodega. They know what they're doing. They love slaves. They love it. You can get a scratch-off and then you'll get drunk on a couple six-packs in the same store. And once they legalize pot, there'll be a guy with pot outside. They love it. Slaves are wonderful for the government's business. Slaves freed by Christ are not. That's why this book is so dangerous. You won't fall into the vices. You might from time to time. We all do it. Some of you have recovered from alcohol. You might grab a beer at times and backslide. But if you're a Christian, you're in your word, get right back on the wagon, as they say.
Amen.
Same thing for those of us who had a problem with gambling. I used to gamble in college and bet on the games and look at the spreads and, you know, thank God he delivered me from that. Everybody has something. I used to be a brawler too. He delivered me from that. These are things that you can be delivered from. So Christ didn't come for you to suffer. He's giving you an easy burden. He's giving you real freedom. You can enjoy the real things in life, not the fake things. We have people making all the money they can, getting all the plastic surgery they can, swallowing all the pills they can, smoking the strangest things that they can. And they're dying miserable and alone. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Everybody has something. The person who swears that they don't have an addiction or were never addicted to anything, talk to them for 5 minutes, and you'll find they have something. Everyone has something. Okay? You ever see those hoarders? Like addicted to old clothes and books and all those things? Someone has something. Because we're sinners and we're crazy. We all have something. So Christ didn't come to make it worse. He didn't come to feed off of our sin. He came to save us, separate us from that sin, and put us to work and doing things that last. So Christians, while other people were throwing their kids into rivers or sacrificing them so that they would get good crops that year, were saving the orphans. We're taking abandoned children. We were different. We really were peculiar people at one time. So when other people were accumulating slaves, we were trying to set slaves free, or at least give them the right direction and the right behavior they were to have with their masters and make the most of what they had. And we were the people group that eventually fought to end slavery. Christians. Okay? So we're different. Jesus didn't come to exploit us. The devil exploits. That's why Jesus said, all those who came before me. Because by the time Jesus came, most of your charlatans and your false world religions were there. And even Islam is a perversion of Christianity. They have Jesus, they got the wrong Jesus. Now what does Jesus do? He takes us from being a slave, a complete slave, to being a slave servant with a good heart. And I'll show you the difference in the Greek. Turn to John chapter 12. We're going to read verse 26. Jesus tells us, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor. Now that word servant in this verse is a little different. It's not doulos, it's diakonos. Does that sound familiar to anyone, diakonos? You think we have a word that came from that?
Deacon.
Deacon! So you're a slave, but you're a different type of slave in Christ. You're a slave that uses their freedom to serve others. We got that? Now you're no longer a slave that's oppressed to be a slave. Your heart is open, your heart is free. I want to be Christ's slave. I want to be a slave. All these dumb messages you're going to hear, well, Jesus is my friend. My buddy. The God of the universe, put my arm around him when I need something. You know, I ask him for something. He's great. Oh, he's just great. Are you crazy? You got to be crazy. He's your servant. So for all those people, and I apologize, who have been coming for Christian churches for years, expecting something from God, like he's your servant, change your attitude. Start coming to the church and joining God's people to be a servant.
Amen.
You can't be corrupted that way. Do you know how much money we've been offered on multiple occasions to leave this building? To just sell it out from under everybody? Big money at times. Right? Hasn't happened yet. We're still here. We'll renovate the upper balcony. We'll make more room. But you have to look to Christ first. Don't be a slave to money. Don't be a slave to notoriety. You know, as a Christian, when you're saying the nice things, people are just going to love you. Oh, you're so spiritual. You accepted me as I am. You're talking to me. Start correcting them. Who are you to judge me? You bigot, you pig, you slob. You got to take both. You stay loyal to Christ. So Jesus takes us, we become his servants, and we become real servants. We serve Christ in a diaconal type of way. So things were turned upside down by the devil. Christianity turns it right side up. God is not your slave. You don't just come to visit God when you need a shirt, or when you need your health improved, or when you need some food in the house. I need, I want, help me. You come to him to serve. God will bless the faithful servant.
Amen.
You know God will make sure you have a shirt to wear and you do have food on your plate. I know that from Psalm 37. The righteous aren't going to be begging bread. We won't have everything we want all the time, but we'll have just enough. As that famous poet once said, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might get what you need.
Amen.
And I forgot who he was and what denomination he was.
Amen.
I think he was from England, he was Anglican. But you have to make sure that you come to Christ to serve. If not, you're going to be disappointed. You want to know why there's so many broken-hearted Christians? Because they come to church and they see a culture where God is the slave of the congregation. How disappointing, even when it's Christian leadership. You come, you have an open heart, you come to a church, and the pastor acts like God is his slave. He also acts like you're his slave. Well, you know, my car's pretty good. You know, we pass the hat around. Oh, I see a couple of grand in here. It's a little light. I know we got some bonuses at work this year. We can do a little better. Really? Do you want to die? Do you want God to kill you? Or toss you into hell? Asking people for money? Go get a job, you bum. If you need extra money. Am I lying? Paul worked. The apostles worked. I'm not bashing, please. I'm not bashing ministers who work full time and work very hard for their congregations. And you should honor them that they can have a decent subsistence, at least one that somewhat matches yours. That's not what I'm saying. But you have people that are living really well, and it's just never enough. You know, you have a private jet? You need a new private jet? Is that important? You know, the house is 2,000 square feet. You need 4,000 square feet. This is what I'm talking about.
Right.
You're making the people your slave. You're making God your slave. You are not God's slave. You're not acting correctly. This is what the Reformation was about. We had a professional priesthood of losers in the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? You couldn't be a butcher, a baker, candlestick maker. I'd get another job. I'd become a priest. They do pretty well. food paper, clothing paper, everything paper. Just listen to Pekka Papa and Aroma, and you get everything that you want. But what did the Protestants say? They left their life of comfort. You think Martin Luther was doing better when he left? You think it didn't cost them something, all the reformers? And what Protestants have done, they turned it back into a professional priesthood. Being a minister is not a job. It's a calling. Now why am I bringing this up? Because being a Christian is not a job. It's a calling.
Amen.
People get angry. You've heard me say it. Not everyone is meant to be a Christian. Not everybody is going to get into heaven. They get angry. Oh, how could you say that? You're crazy. You're filled with hate. Open your Bible. If everyone's going to get into heaven, why is there a hell? You're crazy. You're teaching wrong doctrines of devils. You're making everyone comfortable till they get kicked in the rear end and pushed into the lake of fire with the devil and his minions. So I like to make things simple, and I think that's simple enough. That's your choice. You're going to be someone's slave. You're going to be someone's slave. Beg Christ that you become his slave. Now, I had a verse. Chapter 11, verse 30, is in Matthew. And I want to end with this. And how beautiful and wonderful Christ is. We'll do verses 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Amen.
Does that sound flattering? Does anybody know what a yoke is? Anybody ever been around a farm or around animals? You put a yoke on someone's neck, an animal's neck, to put them to work. But Christ is saying his burden is light and easy. He's not Hitler. He's not going to seduce you and tell you to wage war against the world and kill Christians first and then put Jews in camps. He's not going to be even worse. Stalin was even worse. Isn't it funny? We're taught how evil Hitler is. But all college professors are allowed to be flaming communists. And Stalin was even worse. We're not to be communists killing and imprisoning people. Jesus saves us. We become his slaves. We're his master to do righteous things.
Amen.
How wonderful is that? How many people have had to do some really nasty things for your boss at times? Whether it's in your past life or your present life now. You did some things that really weren't honest for your boss. Earthly bosses, men, they stink. They're dishonest many times. Christ will never ask you to do something unrighteous. That's why the yoke is easy, the burden is light. He's freed you to love people and to help people. He's not going to tell you, look, I'll give you $15 an hour. Go down to Charlotte and riot like a wild dog and help us out with our movement. Right? They pulled all the IDs of the people. 70% of the people are out-of-towners. Yeah. He's not going to recruit you to be a neo-Nazi. Go to some neo-Nazi parade. You know, those people, that's our problem. It doesn't work like that. So he asked you to do good things. So you have a choice. Make your choice this day.
Amen.
Are you coming to church to make God your slave? To serve you? Or are you coming here to serve the Lord and professing that I'm his slave? I guarantee if you have that attitude, walking the Christian life becomes so much easier.
Amen.
Do you know I tell people, and it's a great way to get rid of negative people that want to corrupt you. I need you to take this. I can't do it. You know why? Why? Because I'm God's slave. I'm Christ's slave. I can't obey you. I disobey you. And they run like you're a nut job. It's great. I always tell people, it's not hard to get rid of negative people. Just talk about the Bible and they run. They run. Every time you say, I got a word for you. Hold on, from Matthew. They start running. When before they were bothering you, driving you crazy. Men, it works with loose women that are trying to tempt you. It works with people that are trying to tempt you with money. It'll work with your boss at work. You want your boss to take it off your back? Just talk about the Bible with them. You want some women that are tempting you to leave you alone? Tell them that you're married to God. I'm God's slave. If I did this with you, he would kill me eternally also. Watch them run. Don't be a sweet talker.
Well, you know, baby.
No, tell them. Talk about the Bible. The Bible pushes crazy people out of your life. And those of you who have done it know it. Be Christ's slave. Profess that you're Christ's slave. Proud to be a slave. Took something so negative and made it something so beautiful and positive. And what a God we have, that he's not Pharaoh. He's not some type of king that lords it over the people. God saves you and takes you as his own, and you become his servant to do works of righteousness and to be delivered. That's the great God we have.
Amen.
Some people with a little power goes to their head. They lord it over you. They grind your face into the ground. The God of the universe, with all the power he has, lifts you up and gives you more life. And that's why we serve him. And we're going to have a conflict now. It's already started. It's the humanists versus the Muslims versus whoever, the communists. These are big groups now. The atheists, they're all fighting. And we have to stand up as Christians and say, you're all deceived. You are following something that makes you become inhuman, that makes you become a thief and a robber and a murderer. Why don't we see people picking up rifles and shooting Muslims and then saying, in the name of Jesus? Because it's a different mindset. It's a different mindset. So let's be slaves to Christ. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you that we can always focus on your word, that we can learn from your word. We're proud, Lord, to be your slaves, your freed servants, Lord, that you push us to do works of righteousness, to honor our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to love them, to love our enemies, to do things that are strange to the world. We thank you, dear God, that you delivered us from this world system, that we're not addicted to the multiple sins that are out there, whether it's gambling, drugs, alcohol, money, vanity, whatever it is, cars, houses. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us hearts that when we go to bed tonight, we can stay asleep and sleep in peace. And when we wake up, we'll wake up in peace. And that the ultimate weapon against a world that wants to make us slaves is to be your slave, to truly belong to you. We pray, dear God, that a spirit would come back into the church where people come to serve and not be served. We pray, dear God, that a spirit would come back into the leadership of the church where they come to serve the people and not have the people serve them. We pray, dear God, that this would sweep our nation, that we would have a real revival based on repentance and servanthood, and that we would honor you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are not in the character of Satan, that you do not ask us to follow you and do horrible, unrighteous things, but all you ask us to do is to love you and love our neighbors ourselves. We thank you, dear God. We pray that you would protect us until we come back again next week as your people and worship as your family. We thank you, Lord, in the name of your Son, our only King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand.